Motherhood is a wild ride. It's kind of crazy how your children perceive you and how each one can perceive you so differently. You may hear birds in the background, my husband on the tractor, the children playing with the dogs. And as a matter of fact, today we have grandson here playing with cars and trucks and dinosaurs, and let's see, I think there is a pony, or is it a dinosaur? It's a dragon that is getting in the little people house. Oh my goodness, motherhood. It's crazy. I remember talking to my grandmother one time, and we were sitting at her little bar in her huge kitchen, and we were talking about memories that we had when I was a little girl. I spent a majority of my time with them out on the farm. And we were discussing certain memories and realized that we remembered the same events completely differently. I mean, completely differently. I had, you know, children kind of have rose-colored glasses on what is happening around them. They have a very small perception of the world around them, and they see things from that perspective and that perspective alone. You know, if you go somewhere that you had visited as a child and you visit as an adult, and then everything's bigger. Everything's just huger, big, or smaller. You know, everything seems so big whenever you were a child, but then you visit as an adult and it's like, oh wow, I don't remember this being this way. It seems so much smaller than what it was before. It seemed so much bigger in my memory, right? So we have 6 children. And of course, the first child, I just kept telling her, you are my guinea pig. I am really sorry for all of the mistakes that I have made, am making, and am going to make with you. And I just let her know from pretty much the very beginning that I had no clue what I was doing as a mother and was doing the best I could, and that I just knew I was going to screw her up. I didn't say it that way. But, you know, I was very much relying on her dad's good influence to help out. I was the authoritative parent because one of the things that I felt like I really missed as a child was stability and consistency. So consistency was very, very important to me. I married a very stable man with a very stable job. He had his own business, he and his dad, and he already had some land, very responsible, and just the steady guy, you know. And I was looking forward to that steady lifestyle. On the other hand, I'm like a planner. I plan everything. I had my whole life planned out. I was going to have a dog, a cat, a horse, and a laboratory, and no men in my life whenever he came along. And after that, my plan, you know, went to pot. And on the other hand, he didn't plan anything. He gets up in the morning and it's like, what are you going to do today? Well, I'm lucky if he knows at all. It's the first time the phone rings, then all of a sudden his plan starts for the day. And from one place to another that he goes throughout the day, it just kind of his day plans itself. So if I try to plan something in the future, it's just not going to work. And then on the farm, on top of that, just as soon as I have a day planned, the cows get out. And literally, that is what happens. And so with the children, I was trying so hard to be consistent. So I was very authoritative. I wanted them to know what to expect. So whenever it came to discipline, it's like, these are the rules. And they were very, very basic. I had to make them very basic because Paul and his dad both were very, very permissive. So I had to make the rules very basic, and I just based them on the Bible because I didn't know what else to do. And the Bible is a good source, right? So Jesus said, love your neighbor as yourself, and love God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind. And so the love your neighbor as yourself just kind of covers everything. Is it loving of you to leave your toys laying around on the floor where somebody might step on them and hurt their foot or trip on them and fall? No, it's not. So that's how I based all of the rules. We have one rule. You love your neighbor as yourself. Is it loving your neighbor if you're screaming and have a temper tantrum? Nope, it's not loving your neighbor to be blowing their eardrums out with a temper tantrum. So that's kind of what I did. It was very, very difficult. I got some really good advice at the beginning, and we're spankers. So if you want to butcher me in the comments, then have at it, I guess. But our oldest was definitely a challenge for me. And it was like, the best advice I had was they get 3 swats. That's it. And do not use your hand. Do not make it personal. Okay? So because of some of the abuse I had received when I was younger, I was not going to use a strap or anything like that. I used a wooden spoon. You can't hit very hard with a wooden spoon. So it'd be 3 little swats with a wooden spoon. And that worked. That worked. They just knew once it was established that this was something you were not supposed to do, or you needed to do something specific, you were going to get 3 swats if you cross the line. And they knew that, and it was understandable. And by the time Catherine, our oldest, was 3-4 years old, we were done. I mean, she did not need very many spankings after that. I got compliments on her behavior. It didn't mean the battle was over. I mean, there were other things after that. If they fought with a toy, then I would take the toy away and put it where they could see it. So it wasn't out of sight, out of mind. It was taunting them. You know, you fight over the toy, you don't get to play with it. So gradually my parenting, you know, got softer, got more mercy. I added more grace. And of course with age, you learn and you get more grace with age. So each consecutive child, you know, that you have consequences to your actions. So whatever it was, I would try to make sure that the consequences fit the crime, you know? And I did the best I could, right? And again, I failed so often. And I was not the best mother, was not the best parent. There's so many other things that I could have done, but I gradually learned how to communicate better, because, you know, growing up in the 80s, we weren't taught how to communicate, especially about our feelings or anything else. So as I grew and learned more, I learned to communicate better, and therefore they learned to communicate, you know, pass that on to them. So each child just kind of knows me as a different person, because really I was growing and becoming more me. As I hate to say that I was, you know, becoming a different person. I really was not becoming a different person. I was just becoming more me. Because, you know, as we are growing up, I think we become less ourselves. And we, you know, take on the expectations of others, or the perceived expectations of others. And as I've gradually got past that and learned that either others didn't expect what I thought they expected out of me, or their expectations didn't fit me, you know, or didn't fit where my life was going. And I could just let those go. God has certain expectations and requirements, or, you know, of me. And those are pretty basic. Again, love God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. It's really simple. That doesn't mean it's easy, but it is really simple. So each of the children definitely sees me as a different person for a good reason. But each child is different, so I couldn't be the same mom for each one, you know? I had Catherine, who was very active. She likes to think that she is ADHD. I do not believe that. She will never convince me of that. She took 3-hour naps until she was like 6 or 7 years old. She would spend hours coloring and playing quietly and could remember things. I mean, mind like a steel trap. So she will never convince me that she's ADHD. But she was very active. She was busy. And the other children were busy in different ways, too. Kristen was very much a tomboy. She loved being outside, loved playing with bugs and the animals. And she caught a baby bird one time. And she said, "Look, Mommy, God gave me a baby bird." She had been begging for a bird in the house. And we're like, "Nope, not doing that." And she'd gone out and was so patient and caught a baby killdeer. And I'm like, "See those birds out there having conniption fits? Yeah, that's the Mommy and Daddy. They want their baby bird back." So she had to take it back out there. And you know, the boys like added a whole nother level to our home. So we had girls first. Everything was quiet. They took naps forever. And then boys came along, and it's like the decibel level in our home as far as noise just went up exponentially. And they quit taking naps faster, much earlier. I think Chloe quit taking naps by the time he was 10 months old. And it's like, oh my goodness, what is this? And then, yeah, they're just completely different children. So you can't treat them, even though you have the same rule, you know, they have to be handled differently. They're different people. They're unique individuals, every single one of them, and they're blessings. So, it kind of amazes me looking back and hearing now their memories of when they were growing up, where I am now remembering things completely different than my children remember things. Same exact circumstances, same thing that we're remembering, but we're remembering from completely different perspectives. And it's neat to see that some of the really hard times, they don't remember it that way. And that's a lovely encouragement for any new moms, is, you know, you may be going through a really tough time. Make the best of it with your children. Spend those quality moments with them, and they won't remember it as a hard time. They'll remember the fun times, and they've got very selective memories. And so if you're having fun with them, you're playing with them, you're enjoying your time with them and trying to make things the best of things with them, then that's what they're going to remember. And that's just excellent. So I want to leave you with that little bit of an encouragement that as you grow as a mother, your children grow in character as well. And, you know, just trust that where you fail, the Lord will pick up the slack. And it works really well that way. So if you haven't subscribed to the magazine yet, run over there to prairie-trail.com. And I am just really excited about some of the contributors that we have in this magazine. It is completely biblically based, and it's to help you live more sustainably just on a regular basis. Whether you're in the city or in the country or in the suburban area, wherever you're at, sustainable living can be for everybody, and it doesn't have to mean electric cars and all that kind of stuff. So hop on over to prairie-trail.com and leave a comment, holler at me on social media. I love hearing from you guys. And remember, you can make it through the dust storms of life with God's divine help.